97.5, The Fanatic.
Well, happy Sunday, everybody. I am Rob Motti, here with you after a brutal Flyers loss that effectively ends their season. It's unofficial, obviously. There's still several games left, but when you can't beat the worst team in hockey, the Buffalo Sabres, you deserve not to make the playoffs, and they missed an opportunity to pull within 2 points of the Boston Bruins. Of course, they still have 3 games in hand, and now Boston plays tonight against the Caps. Flyers are all but finished, and they should be, and I don't know how they got here, and I don't know how they got to this point, but if you're as disappointed about the Flyers, I just thought last year the way the progress they made getting into the playoffs, winning around, and there was some excitement. They can build on this, and they can continue to grow, and Alain Vigneault and Carter, and all that. And here we go. Flyers are approaching the trade deadline tomorrow, and at this point, you got to be sellers. There's absolutely no reason to go into this and try and acquire or give up any kind of prospects or draft picks to bring in guys who can help you this season, because you're not going anywhere. Season's over. Flyer season is officially over. Nat Marlowe here with me. We'll be taking you up until 8 o'clock, 610-632-0975. Sixers rebound last night, bounced back with a W against an Oklahoma City Thunder team that is tanking, and the Sixers needed to win that game. They did. We can talk a little bit about that. But I want to start off with a couple things today. The Phillies last night and their mental mistakes, and then the Eagles and the possibility of them taking a quarterback in the first round and the utter nonsense that that is, and it still won't go away, because anytime anybody behind a microphone says, well, you know, I think that maybe there's a possibility, or I heard, or somebody said, or there's a hope, or just stop. Stop. And today I think it was Jeremy Fowler on ESPN talking. I don't know what the context of the conversation was, but essentially it was a GM said that the Eagles could, if a quarterback drops to 12, take a quarterback. They're not taking a quarterback. They dropped from 6 to 12 because they don't want a quarterback. They would have taken a quarterback if they could have traded up. At this point, they're not taking a quarterback. If there's a quarterback, one of the five available there for the Eagles at 12, they're going to trade out of 12. I would be shocked. Can't tell you definitively what they're doing, but I would be absolutely stunned and shocked if the Eagles took a quarterback at 12, if there even was one available of the top five. And whether it's Justin Fields or Trey Lance falling to 5, which I don't envision happening, they're not taking a quarterback. I just don't. Jalen Hurts is unofficially the Eagles' QB1. They haven't named him the quarterback. He's going to be the quarterback of this team. If they take a rookie, it'll be somebody in day 3. Not even day 2. Nor should they. Nor should they. So I don't care what anybody reports, or it's not even a report. Things get blown up into reports. It's just have a conversation. Well, one GM said this to Jeremy Fowler. So what? Eagles aren't taking a quarterback at 12. If they wanted a quarterback, they would have traded up to 3. They couldn't get that deal done. They traded down from 6. It was a good trade. You got to see what Jalen Hurts can do. And it appears they're going to do that. And I think that's the right move. So don't get all bent out of shape about the Eagles. And anytime you hear stuff, just take it for what it is. It's talk. Sometimes it's no better than you and your buddies sitting there in a basement or at your bar and just having a conversation. That's all it is. Just because somebody's behind a microphone saying, oh, I spoke to somebody, and they think the Eagles. So one person in the league thinks, well, the Eagles value the quarterback position to the point where they would evaluate every single possibility. But they also have a quarterback in Jalen Hurts that they want to see what he can do. And that is the right move. The right decision for the Eagles is to play Jalen Hurts, if he's healthy, 17 games this season. 610-632-0975. We could talk about that. But the Phillies last night, and I don't know how this happens, and it can't happen because you're not a good enough baseball team to make mental mistakes. And mental mistakes in baseball annoy me. They absolutely annoy me. If you're not good enough to make pitches, if you're not good enough to field the ball, if you're not good enough to get on base and get hits, that's fine. Those are physical shortcomings. You have guys who aren't good enough. I understand that. But when Jose Alvarado enters a tie game with runners on first and third, and he's facing a left-hander in Freddie Freeman, basic fundamentals of baseball, the sport that I absolutely love, grew up playing since I was 6 years old, at 8 years old, as a shortstop, I knew at 8 years old, when it's runners at first and third, I would yell to the pitcher, if the ball's hit to you, look home. Look home. Look at the runner, look home. Somebody needed to tell Jose Alvarado that. And that's the shortstop's job, Didi Gregorius. And sometimes if I was playing second base or third base, depending on, it doesn't mean only the shortstop can say, speak up. Speak up. Game's on the line. Jose Alvarado comes in the game. You hand him the ball. You tell him what he's going to do here against Freddie Freeman. And we all love JT Realmuto. Before you get back behind the plate, hey, ball's hit back to you. Look at the runner. Look at the runner. Infield's not even at double play depth. Infielder's got to tell the pitcher, we're not at double play depth. Look at the runner. You get the ball, look at the runner. Every player on the field, in your mind, in a situation like that, if the ball's hit to me, what am I going to do? If I'm an outfielder, if the ball's hit to me, runner on third, he's tagging. If I'm in a position where I think I can throw him out, you're going home. If the ball's hit to the warning track, you're going to second base to keep another runner from getting in scoring position. Fundamentals of baseball. How does this happen? It's understandable when it was, okay, it was Gabe Kapler and they were learning on the fly and coaching on the fly and a new manager and all that stuff. It should not happen with a Joe Girardi-managed team. It shouldn't. And I like Joe. But he made a mental mistake himself Friday night. Friday night, he comes out there, doesn't want to take Zach Wheeler out, but he has to because it was the second mound visit. So when your manager's making a mental mistake on Friday night, now you make one on Saturday night. And now the Phillies lose to the Braves, and tonight on ESPN, they face a potential sweep. And all the joy and all the excitement after a 5-1 start, now they're at 5-3, and they got to find a way to win this game tonight with Matt Moore on the mound. I'm not conceding the game. I'm not saying they're going to get swept. They can win the game and come out of there. I wanted to see them get one out of three here in Atlanta. Three-time defending NL East champions. They're a good baseball team. They're the front runner to win the NL East. You swept them at home. If you take one out of three on the road, now you're 4-2 against them in the first six meetings. Get the job done. Roman Quinn, pinch hitting last night, though, for Adam Haseley. Why? And then you were in a situation where potentially, and it didn't happen, he was going to take Eflin out of the game, and Eflin's leading off, and now you already used Quinn, so you couldn't do a double switch to where whoever would have come in, you would have had a pinch hit for him. Slight little mistake. I don't need to see Roman Quinn ever pinch hitting for Adam Haseley. He has no chance. And he's starting tonight. He has no chance. At this point, his at-bats look like a guy who has no chance. None. So I'm not bothered by the pitching mistakes. I'm not bothered by lack of hitting. I'm not bothered by physical defensive errors as much as I am by mental mistakes. When a team like the Phillies that has not made the postseason since 2011, entering a year like this where I go 85 wins, and that's probably right about the most hopeful, optimistic consensus because you can't really put them in a 90 category. You can't afford to give away games. You can't. Every game is, I know it's a 162 game season, but every game counts. Every game matters. At the end of the season, as you're fighting for that wild card or you're fighting for a division somehow, you look back on a game. This is a two-game swing. You gave away a game. And that's not saying they could have won. It was tied. It was 4-4. But you gave them a run. That run should have easily been cut down at the plate. And now you still have a chance. That's on Alvarado. You got to know what you're going to do. I don't care the magnitude of facing Freddie Freeman gets to you. If the ball is hit to you first and third in a situation like that, infield not at double play depth, you look the runner. First thing you do, look the runner. Look at the runner. He broke on contact. In that case, you catch the ball, look at him. Either he goes back and you fire to third, or you run at him. And if you run at him and he keeps going, you throw home. It's not that hard. And it's on the shortstop, the captain of the infield. Didi Gregorius has got to tell him before the ball is hit. If it's hit to you, because whenever there's a runner on first base, anybody who's played baseball and has played infield knows this. There's a runner on first base, there's less than two outs, you're at short. If it's a left-handed batter and it's not a guy who, for whatever reason, hits the opposite way 90% of the time, if it's a left-handed batter, you're the shortstop, you yell to the pitcher, back to you, I got you. So he knows he's turning to throw to you. But in this case, with a runner on third, you don't say that. Back to you, look the runner. If it was a right-handed batter, you turn, runner on first, nobody on third, you look at him, you say, Gene has you. Or whatever nicknames or whatever, however you want to say it, to cover the bag. I can't stand mental errors. I can't stand mental mistakes in baseball. I know they're going to happen. It's a long season. But two nights in a row, your manager makes one. And then the pitcher makes one. So I want to know how you feel about that. And what bothers you more in baseball? In sports, really. Is it the physical mistakes or is it the mental errors, mental blunders? Do you forgive an occasional mental lapse here or there? What did you think of that play as it developed last night? So we can talk about that. And I want to get back to the Eagles because, again, it was just a context of a conversation or whatever it was. And all of a sudden today, people are reacting to the possibility of the Eagles taking a quarterback at 12. I would be absolutely stunned, shocked if they took a quarterback at 12. I still don't think they even draft a 12.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I think this team is going to move back down. Possibility of them moving up, more likely moving back down. If a quarterback were available at 12, and as you look at it, we know Trevor Lawrence is going to go 1, Zach Wilson 2, and at 3, most think, you know, it could be Trey Lance. Something, it could be Mac Jones. Something, it could be Justin Fields. But those are the other three possibilities for San Fran. They didn't trade up not to take a quarterback at 3. So you got Lance, Fields, and Mac Jones. If one of those guys is available at 12 and the Eagles took that quarterback, it's organizational malpractice. You can't do it. You need to see what Jalen Hurts can do. They need to find out about Jalen Hurts. So I don't care that one GM told Jeremy Fowler that he thinks that there's a possibility that he heard from a friend of a friend that maybe, if nobody else was available that they wanted, and a quarterback was there at 12, that the Eagles may think about potentially taking a quarterback. Like, all of these, come on, seriously, stop with that nonsense. Not anymore, not after they traded down, nor should they. So, does anyone out there right now still think, one, that that's a possibility? If you're an Eagles fan, or even if you're not an Eagles fan, do you still think that this team may potentially take a quarterback in the first round? And if so, how would you feel about that? Because one, I do not think it will happen at all. I think if one of those five were available, they'd trade out of the 12, which would be the smart thing to do and accumulate more draft capital. But beyond that, it's the right thing to do, not taking a quarterback. I didn't want them taking a quarterback when they were at 6. I didn't want them trading up for a quarterback. I've been wanting to see what Jalen Hurts can do since they benched Carson Wentz, and it became pretty much inevitable that the relationship was headed towards a divorce. Jalen Hurts was a second-round pick last year. Jalen Hurts showed that he has a ton of potential. I don't know that he's going to be the answer. They don't know that he's going to be the answer. And the only way you find out is by playing him. Let him go out there in a new system and see what he can do. Spoke to a few people this week, as I mentioned last night, from Jacoby Brissett, former Colts quarterback, current Dolphins quarterback, Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson. They all are high on Nick Sirianni and what he can do for this Eagles offense and a young Jalen Hurts and how he could develop him. So what are your thoughts on the possibility that won't go away until the Eagles actually hand in their draft card and they take a offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, an edge rusher, or maybe a cornerback? And I'd be surprised, shocked and stunned if they took a quarterback, surprised if they took a wide receiver, surprised. How do you feel about that possibility? 610-632-0975. So the Phillies and their mental mistakes, the Eagles and the quarterback nonsense that won't go away, Sixers with a big win last night, Ben Simmons with a couple jumpers. How about that? But Joel Embiid after the game saying, he's got to be more aggressive. He's got to be more aggressive. And then your Philadelphia Flyers disappointing again, a loss that all but officially ends their season. That you're rocking a what jersey are you wearing? Is that a?
I was wearing Konechny
jersey.
Yeah, big game for him yesterday. And you, not so much for him today.
You were there yesterday at the game, and
yeah, had a blast. Nice to see a Flyers victory yesterday.
What happened to this team, Nat? How did we get to this point where here we are, and season's not over yet, but it's officially right in their obituary?
Well, you have to go, when it comes to this Flyers team, you have to go back and remember that a pandemic should not be happening at all right now, but that's the reality of the situation. They're in a pandemic season. They had the absolute monster of a season last year. Pandemic hits, ruins all of that momentum, and they struggle to find it back once they face Montreal and the New York Islanders. They lose that 7-game series to New York. Then this season comes around, and they only face seven opponents within their division because of how the NHL had to structure the leagues to tailor to what Canada wanted.
Right.
So, with the Flyers only facing seven opponents and facing them eight times each, just that format alone allows the superior teams to be that much more dominant, the inferior teams to be that much more detrimental, to be that much more egregiously bad. And the mediocre teams, I think the flaws when it comes to a scenario like that, the flaws of a mediocre team become that much more apparent when they face the same opponents over and over and over again, as opposed to a scenario where you're facing opponents within your division four times a year and then everybody else only two or three times. So I think given the nature of the circumstances, the Flyers were, I don't think they were dealt a bad hand. I just think because of the scenario that they were in, their flaws have been exposed now more. Their hand is showing, and other teams can take advantage of that. And Buffalo Sabres, as poor of a franchise they've been for the last 10 years, they're going to miss the playoffs for the 10th/11th year in a row, longest active NHL drought right now. And it still allows a team like the Buffalo Sabres to take advantage of the Flyers' weaknesses.
They have 10 wins this year. How many against the Flyers? It seems like
that's at least their third, if not their fourth.
You can't beat the worst team in hockey. You don't deserve to be in the postseason.
Well, what does that make you if you lose to the worst team in hockey?
Yeah, just as bad.
Yeah.
Bottom line, just as bad. And Carter Hart going from, hey, we finally got a goaltender after all the years, to now there's question marks. Do you know what Carter Hart... Are you confident in Carter Hart bouncing back after this?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You are? You're confident that he could be the guy next year?
100%.
Wow.
I have to have faith in him as the franchise goaltender.
Okay.
You absolutely have to put all your faith and trust in him, especially because some of the greatest franchise goalies in NHL history, like Martin Brodeur, Patrick Roy, Dominic Hasek, just to name a few, have had seasons like Carter Hart is having right now. And all of them were coincidentally right around this point in their careers, same as Carter Hart's. So by that logic and by that scenario, I have to put all my faith in Carter Hart in knowing that he will bounce back.
Oh, well, you're more optimistic on Carter Hart than I am. I just look at the history of goaltending with the Flyers and I go, I don't know. I know he's got talent. I know there was a lot of defense was an issue for them this year, and that's not always his fault when the guys in front of him are not doing their job. But it's disappointing. It's really disappointing to see where this team is right now after the excitement that we all had last year. And it was obviously delayed because of the pandemic, and then they finally went into a bubble. When did season end? Like July? Late July? Early August? Because I don't even... The playoffs started in June, right? Yeah, they start... Whatever it was.
They started later. I think they started in August. And they went until like the beginning of October.
Hockey... I was watching hockey and baseball at the same time.
Yeah, that was weird.
In the summer. In late summer.
Playoff hockey.
Yeah, it was strange.
That was weird.
It was strange. And that got me thinking about, all right, this is going to be a perennial playoff team again. And I really thought that there was, we've moved past that point where they're a bottom dweller. And here they are now losing to the Buffalo Sabres again. And although they can still reel off, like at this point, they'd have to reel off 7-8 in a row. There's no other way. And then still hope that Boston, which has three games in hand, goes, you know, you win 8 in a row, Boston's still got to go 3-5 or whatever it may be.
They're so lucky Boston is going through such a stretch of bad luck right now. Even in the game yesterday, it wasn't so much that the Flyers outplayed the Bruins. The Flyers just had much better puck luck and much better puck bounces than the Bruins did, because the Bruins, they were making effective passes. They had tremendous strategy, especially early in the game yesterday. The Bruins were outplaying the Flyers. But the Bruins also had terrible puck luck in that game. Just bounces weren't going their way.
Yeah, and at least they found a way to win that one, and they ruin it today. So Flyers lose. If you're leaving a game, you're leaving the center, you're disappointed, I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on where this team goes from here with the trade deadline coming up tomorrow. You and I both are in agreement. Sell, sell, sell. You're not in
a
position.
No. Hold off on that.
You're not selling?
I'm maybe a couple pieces, but I'm not full blown sell. No. If anything, I want to buy.
You still want to buy at this point? Not, you still want to buy?
Not for the short term. If I'm buying, I'm buying for the long term.
If somebody's locked into a couple years.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense.
That's why I would buy. Like, I'm not going after a rental, because if you're going after a rental for a guy who's going to have an expiring contract,
forget it.
And if you're not planning on signing him, that makes absolutely no sense.
All right. So where are you guys going with the Flyers? 610-632-0975. Are you as peeved with the Phillies and their mental mistakes last night? Like, that's inexcusable. To me, that's inexcusable. You cannot have a situation where the go-ahead run is on third base in the seventh inning of a game. I don't care that it's early in a season. Every game matters. Every game counts. And you're not a good enough baseball team where you're going to overcome giving one away. Jose Alvarado needs to know when he's standing on the mound, if I get the ball, I look at the runner first. Bottom line. And that's got to be drilled in his head by the shortstop and the catcher. And even the manager, as he hands him the ball as he walks off the mound. It's not too much to go through your mind, pitch sequence, how you're going to attack, how you're going to approach Freddie Freeman, and still think, if I get the ball, what am I going to do? So I blame Alvarado. I blame Didi for not letting him know before. JT, Gerard, everybody. But the manager himself had a mental lapse the night before, and the team comes back with a mental lapse. Going to be really interesting to see how they bounce back tonight. You can't make another mental blunder tonight on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. And your thoughts on the Eagles and the nonsense that won't go away, that they could still take a quarterback in the first round. It's not happening. It's not happening. How do you feel about the talk that won't stop if they did it, which they won't? But if they did it, how would you feel about it? And what do you think they should do? Because I'm of the mindset where they, to me, I'm not opposed to a trade down. Trade down to the teens. 610-632-0975. I'm Rob Motti. Got an open line for you. 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.